We've celebrated Jesus' birth. Now, for the next month or so, we're kind of following Jesus through his early ministry. And one of the next things that happens to him in the book of Luke is this story. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not even worthy to loosen the straps on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing floor and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." When everyone was being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." There's a story about a Methodist and a Baptist who are talking to each other about their faith. And as you know, we have a whole lot more in common than we do that separates us. We all believe in God. We believe Jesus was his son, and we believe the Holy Spirit is the ongoing presence of God. But there are some things that we don't agree with, and usually one of those topics is baptism. Baptists, as you know, tend to baptize people as adults by immersion, whereas Methodists tend to baptize folks at any age. And most of the baptisms that we do here, we sprinkle a little water on people's heads. Well, the Methodists decided to press the Baptist a little bit and said, "Okay, so what if you're doing a baptism, but you only get the water up to the person's waist? Does that count?" And the Baptist said no. So then the Methodist said, "What if you're in water and you only immerse a person up to their neck? Does that count?" And the Baptist said, no. So the Methodist said, "What if you immersed somebody up to their eyebrows? Does that count?" And the Baptist said, no. So then the Methodist said, "Ah, there you have it. So it's only the part on the very top of their head that counts." Baptism can be a very confusing topic. There are some very different views out there. I think we'd all agree that it's not a magical ticket to get into heaven, that it symbolizes something deeper. Later in the service, Jamie's going to invite you, if you would like, if you've been baptized and would like to remember your baptism, to come forward when we've got some water there to remember our own baptisms. In the meantime, I thought it would be helpful to talk a little bit about what it means to be baptized. And to do that, to talk a little bit about what happened when Jesus was baptized. The phrase that caught my attention was where John the Baptist was speaking, and he said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is coming who is greater than me will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." So I thought it would be helpful to spend a little bit of time talking about what is the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and do I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? All right, let's start with the first part of that. John said, "I baptize you with water." The baptism that he had to offer was a baptism of repentance. And you know what repentance means? It's a change in direction. It means you're heading one way and you decide to head another way. He offered forgiveness, but basically it was a confronting people with the reality that there are some things that needed to change and going in a different direction. What seemed to be the appeal of John the Baptist is that he was willing to tell the truth even when the truth was hard to hear. Have you ever found that to be true? Have you ever tried to make a change in your life and realized how hard it is to change? I'll confess to you that I have something that I'm trying to change in my life. I've developed this habit of texting while I'm driving. I think I do it because I think I'm smart enough to do two things at the same time, and I don't text very much, and so I don't think that I do it very often. But the other day, my niece was in the car behind me, and when we got to where we were going, she said, "Brad, do you realize you were all over the road, and you almost hit the curb twice?" I didn't realize anybody else knew what I was doing in the car. I stopped doing it for about a week, but then I found myself, I'd be at a stoplight, and I think, I'll just send a text out. No problem at all, right? And now I'm back to what I was doing before. So this is one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm going to try to change that habit of not texting while I'm driving. It's hard to do, though, isn't it? Do you remember the last time you tried to change something for yourself? Even when you know that it's not good for you, when you try to change and do something differently, is it possible that there's something that we're missing? John knew that what he was doing had limits. He said that he was only preparing the way, that there was one who was coming who was far greater. In Acts, in the 19th chapter, there is a story about when the Apostle Paul goes to visit the town of Ephesus. And one of the things he does in Ephesus is he finds a group of disciples. So these would have been people that believed in God and that were telling the stories of Jesus, but they seemed to be missing something. And so he asked them, he said, "You know about God, you know about Jesus, but have you ever received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit." And so he asked them, "What were you baptized into?" And they said, "I've been baptized into John's baptism." And then the Apostle Paul went on to say, "But John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him." On hearing this, we are told they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. So I thought I'd start by asking the question, what is the Holy Spirit? There's three people in the Trinity, right? God the Father, who is the Creator. God the Son, who is Jesus, who came as God to be among us. And God the Holy Spirit, which is the ongoing presence of God in the world. The Holy Spirit is the one who lets us know that the stories in the Bible are not just for a long time ago in a place far, far away, but for us also right now. Did you see where CNN ran a story this week? Trying to determine what the most popular state in America to move to is. Can you guess? Where are more people, what state are more people moving to than any other? I would have thought it would be Florida or California or maybe Texas. The Atlanta area is really growing. It wasn't any of those. I'd like to say it was Ohio, but it's Oregon. Apparently there are more people moving to Oregon than any other state in the country. One person was interviewed who this story quoted as saying, "I thought we were doing a better job of keeping this place a secret than that." If you're feeling out of the way, if you're feeling like God's not paying attention to you, the Holy Spirit is the one who said it wasn't just for a long time ago. Those stories in the Bible aren't just for back then. They're also for right here, right now. So what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let's look at some of the things that we can, I think, learn from Jesus' baptism. One, for Jesus, it was a new direction. We know very little about what happened to Jesus between his birth and his baptism. There's a story about when he stayed behind in the temple when he was 12 years old. But other than that, we don't know a whole lot. After Jesus' baptism, we get a play-by-play account of all kinds of things that happened to him. Luke says that he was baptized when he was 30 years old. For him, it appears to be a new direction where his ministry really takes on new form. A guy named Marcel Proust once said, "The journey of discovery lies not in looking for new horizons, but in looking with new eyes." I like that. Baptism means looking for God's presence in our lives and in the world with new eyes. Do you need that? Do you need a sense of new direction? I find the older I get, the more often I need to start over again. I need to start new and start fresh. This is a good time of year to be looking with fresh eyes. Also, in Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit took on a tangible form. The Holy Spirit descended on him, if you remember, in the form of a dove. Dove would have been a symbol of innocence and peace. Many people were looking for a Messiah to be a revolutionary who would come and overthrow the Roman government or at least run them out of Israel. Jesus comes, I think, in the form, or the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove to remind us that this Messiah comes not to declare war on sickness and illness and on poverty, but instead as a new kind of Messiah who leads with kindness and gentleness and humility like a dove. The Apostle Paul says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How is the Holy Spirit taking on tangible form in your life? If somebody else looks at your life, how would they be able to say, there's where the Holy Spirit is at work? And lastly, the Holy Spirit is associated with fire. John said Jesus would baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. It's what sets our faith on fire. About a week ago, I heard a good story of somebody whose faith took tangible form, who the Holy Spirit took tangible form in their life. Bob and Kathy, we were together at a colleague's funeral service, Jing Chow. He had served for a long time down at Waynesville United Methodist Church, and I was across the interstate over at Monroe United Methodist Church, and so we'd run into each other at Countryside YMCA. One of the people who spoke was his grandson, who said, "I learned about faith from my grandfather." He is about 20 years old or so, and he said, "When I was a kid," I guess that he was about 6 or 7 at the time, he said, "I liked to color things." And on one occasion, he was coloring shapes on a piece of paper. And he put the piece of paper on the floor, and he got really into coloring trapezoids. And he got so into coloring trapezoids that the paper ran out. And so he kept coloring trapezoids onto the carpet. Well, as you can guess, when Grandpa found out, he wasn't real happy. And so he made him stop coloring trapezoids on the carpet and then went and got some sponges and some cleaner so he could clean the trapezoids off the carpet. But he was a kid and he lost interest after a while, and so he went off to do other things. The next thing he knew, guess who was cleaning trapezoids off the carpet? His grandpa was down on his hands and knees cleaning trapezoids off the carpet. He said, "I learned in that moment what Jesus was like." He said, "I learned that's really what Jesus did for us on the cross, isn't it?" He said, "I should have been there doing that. He took it on himself." That's what Christ did on the cross. He took our sins on himself by dying on the cross. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit means we're set on fire. It means we give tangible form to an intangible truth. When the heavens were open, there was a voice from God that said, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I find happiness." I think that's what God has a right to expect from us. That in us, he finds happiness. The Westminster Catechism said that the chief aim of people or of human beings is to bring happiness to God, to glorify God. Do you want that? Do you want to bring happiness to God? As I said, a little later in the service, Jamie's going to give you an opportunity to reaffirm your baptism. If you haven't been baptized and would like to, please talk to me. I would love to be able to find a way that we can arrange to share with you in that blessing. I'd also like to invite you to be a part of an initiative that we're starting here at Faith Community, a breakthrough prayer initiative. We're starting an effort to bathe everything that we do as a church and the community around us in prayer. And so I'm trying to put together a lead team of about 10 to 12 people that will figure out what exactly that looks like. To that end, Stephanie Blackburn is also putting together a group on Wednesday at 6:30 that will pray for the leadership team. They will spend some time praying for the leadership team and the work that they're going to do this year. For my part, I'll do my very best when we see the Holy Spirit breaking through to share those stories with you. So, for example, this week, you know that we have a new custodial service that has started here at Faith Community, Alpha and Omega. The person that has been here most of the time has been a young lady by the name of Crystal. She started out working on carpets, so if you walk through the narthex, the chapel, and the parlor, notice the carpets under your feet. They are, I am told, as clean as elbow grease and modern chemicals can get them. A couple of weeks ago, I also challenged you, as a church, to step up and love Jesus by loving the youngest members of our church, and that has happened. We've got Stephanie Blackburn is going to help with coordinating the adult part of the Sunday school. We've got a group of very committed Sunday school teachers. Michelle Brodsky is helping out with the kids club on Wednesday, and Rhonda Cook is helping out with children's church that's meeting as we meet here. When just about every important thing happened in Jesus' life, we find him praying. And so I'd like to invite you to make this be a season where, in a new way, we come to the Lord in prayer. And if you're looking for a prayer to pray, I invite you to share together this one. It's a prayer that's been attributed to Wesley that he shared in what has been called his covenant service. I really like this prayer. Would you pray it with me? It goes like this. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, may it be ratified in heaven. Amen.